Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Movie Mastery. It's the podcast where we watch the movies that you have told us to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I am your host, John. With me, as always, and in perpetuity, my co-host, Jeff.
Oh no, John, something went wrong.
Oh no? What went wrong?
I didn't mute my computer and now it's about to make a bunch of beeps.
Oh no, beeps and boops.
Don't think I'm popular, though. They're all beeps I set to play by myself.
No, I set up a bunch of instant message sounds to go off.
So that you'd think I'm cool. And then I screwed it up by telling... That's what went wrong, is I blabbed.
I went to cool_guy.mp4 on YouTube.
Yeah. It was just a bunch of me getting constant notifications on all the platforms. And then I had rehearsed it all afternoon. I was going to say, oh, wow. My spot is being blown up.
Oh, like looks cool like guy. So many people want to talk with me.
Mm-hmm.
Cool guy, Jeff.
Let me just check who wants to get at Chaboy, Jeff, I would say. And you'd be like, damn, this guy's going places.
I'd be like, wow, who is it? And you'd be like, ah, cool dudes and sexy chicks. Tom Hanks wants to have a word with me.
He's a model in Canada. You probably never heard of him.
Oh, man. This time around, we have watched Godzilla Final Wars from 2004.
I got to assume that this was put on the list after we watched Shin Godzilla, because we spent the entire time bitching about how the movie was slow because it was just a bunch of procedural shit.
Oh, yeah.
Ultimately, Shin Godzilla is a good movie. It's a very good movie. It's very good. I like it. That's fair. You don't have to agree with me.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't like Godzilla movies, and I know that that is a thing that for nerds is like, how dare you? But I'm like, man, I just, in both ways, I can't give a fuck. I am one of those people that I'm like, you know what? The, like, 2014 Godzilla American movie? Probably one of my favorites of the Godzillas.
It's got like 6 seconds of Godzilla in it.
That's all I need. I mean, honestly, it's the second one.
You gotta watch the second Godzilla movie. Scarlet Witch pretend they have any chemistry at all.
Lol.
They don't.
Here's the thing.
I had to say that because I couldn't remember who played Quicksilver. I just remember that he played Quicksilver.
You know, his name is like Ryan...
Peter
John
John
Ryan John
Pe- probably Ryan Peter John, John.
It's probably Ryan Johnson.
Ryan Johnson Peter John, I think that's his full name. But yeah, I mean, Destroy All, or the Godzilla Destroy All, or the second one, whatever it was called, the one where he actually does fight a bunch of different kaijus.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Oh, I love that one. And honestly, I'll say Final Wars might end up taking my number two on this.
That's fair.
Because it's the level of dumb horseshit that I want out of Godzilla.
Yeah.
The reason I didn't like Shin Godzilla was because it was like, ah, good, more officials are talking. I don't give a fuck.
I mean, I get what they were going for. It was supposed to be like a story, a parody of Godzilla in a sense of what would actually happen, which is that a bunch of useless meetings would happen constantly. And here we are for them as a bunch of bureaucrats try to justify their role, even though they were like an agricultural minister a few minutes ago, in a Godzilla dialogue.
I mean, I can understand wanting to be like, oh, we're going to turn Godzilla from a standard kaiju film into a disaster film.
Yes.
Which is sort of the way that that movie went. But it was also very boring and I don't care. Come for me.
No, you're fine. You're fine. It's I'm pretty sure it's a pretty divisive movie. But yeah, it's interesting to me just because it feels like it had split the normal Godzilla represents the atomic bomb to Godzilla represents just whatever shit is happening in Japan and whenever they made that movie that was bad.
I mean, I could definitely see it being like, oh, this is much more like Godzilla as a tsunami or something like that.
Just some sort of big civic disaster that's going to get bogged down in stupid paperwork and endless bald guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, this is not that.
No, this movie is... St- start to finish, absolute trash nonsense. It is, even the human characters are like, no one's allowed to just be some guy. Everyone needs business at all times.
Yeah. It's definitely a movie that wears its big dumb heart on its sleeve.
And that's what I want from a Toho Godzilla is the thing. Yeah. Like, I want them to just be like, "Wee!"
Yeah, Toho Godzilla has, over the, you know, the course of the past 70-odd years, almost, I think it's probably 70 years next year, or last year.
Well, yeah, because this was the 50th, so it'll be, next year will be 70.
70, yeah. But what they've done is they've built this kind of storyline, similar to how, like, the Final Fantasy games have slowly accreted little things that represent, or The Simpsons, or you pick your thing, little things get added to them that then become part of the general storyline going forward. And this one has all of them, even if they couldn't find a way to squeeze them in there. They're just like, look, Mothra's always got to have two ladies in miniskirts and midriff tops who talk in unison. If you want Mothra in your movie, they get in there. That's part of it.
I mean, that was the big thing with this being the sort of 50th anniversary big Godzilla and everything that we own in the Godzilla universe, is they were like, look, man, if we did anything in a Godzilla movie in the last 50 years, you better believe we're bringing that shit back out.
Oh, yeah. They have characters in this movie who show up only to die a split second later just because they were in some Godzilla movie at one point.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go ahead and say it now before you get mad at us. I know maybe, 60% of the kaijus that appear in this film.
That's fine. I know about 10%. So I know Godzilla. And even though his name is Milla, I will always think of him as Godzuki.
Which I'm always going to think of him as Minilla, which is what I remember him being when I watched those movies when I was a kid.
Okay, so that's why I kept thinking that's what his name was when they kept saying Milla. I was like, isn't it Minilla? Why do I think it's Manila?
Oh, no, they're paying homage to Mia Jovovich.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, yeah. She did some favors for Toho in the late 90s. And
sure.
They're just paying her back.
Sure.
It's like editing work, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spoiler free review. If you like Godzilla, God knows you've probably already seen this.
Yeah, obviously. I've already seen this. I didn't want to bring it up, but I had seen it in the past.
I was concerned that I had, but it turns out I had seen one of the other films in the Godzilla Millennium series where they had three movies, and I think it was like Godzilla 2000 is the one I had watched.
Fair.
So that was the one that ended with, I think there's a little Godzilla in all of us. And then he roars and like destroys a city with a beam of heat breath. I'm like, that's the best way to end a movie. It's like, oh, we're all a little Godzilla.
So if you're a huge Godzilla fan and you have like the toys they make for Godzilla are just top notch. They're only second in my mind to Gundam shit. But yeah. So if you're a huge fan, I apologize in advance. I do not know what that big lobster is called.
King Caesar?
No, King Caesar.
Oh no, wait, King Caesar's the like weird rabbit guy.
He's the foo dog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know the lobster. I don't know the big bug, and I don't know the slime monster that dies immediately.
Yeah,
And other than that, we're up to speed for the most part.
I mean, mostly I was like, is that the pollution monster?
I think it is. Yeah, something talks. I don't remember, but yeah, that's the smog monster.
Great. Okay, you know what?
Biollante.
Hey man, that's way better than I'm gonna do for this episode. We are going, no spoilers, I'll say, goofy and fun. You could watch it even if you don't like Godzilla.
I'm going to say this is a movie that I would strongly recommend, but only with friends. Do not try to watch this alone. Like, I found it kind of a tiring experience, even though it's fun and goofy, because I didn't have anyone to joke about it with.
Yeah, it definitely does feel like this should be with a group of friends.
Yeah.
Have some fun with it.
Yeah.
All right, we are going to take a small little music break. We'll be back, and then we'll get into the full in-depth spoiler review for Godzilla Final Wars. We are back, and it is time to let you know about all of the many in-depth, interesting, nuanced decisions that happened in Godzilla Final Wars.
You mean the strong conversation led to them just going like, yeah, whatever, just put whatever in there. No one gives a shit.
I imagine they just had someone running into the back where they keep all of the fucking kaiju costumes. And anytime someone would just run on stage in one and they'd be like, fuck yeah, do it.
You're in the movie.
That's in the movie.
I filmed a bunch of deeply embarrassing scenes of cops assaulting black people or trying to tow black people's cars in the streets of Los Angeles. They're in the movie.
Oh, God, that scene. There were a couple scenes in here where I want to know if they refilmed some stuff just for the American audiences.
No research. Well, actually, wait, that's System Master. You can do all the research you want.
I could, but I couldn't find anything that says whether or not they did.
Mm.
So that's just me.
That's just you, I'm afraid.
It's just me, sad and alone.
So if you're wondering, if you got a little itch in the back of your brain asking you if this is that movie, I'll go ahead and say yes, this is the movie where Toho basically points out that Godzilla 98, the big chameleon reptile lizard one that is defeated by Matthew Broderick, is indeed, this is the one where they make fun of him by turning him into basically such bad CGI that he looks like the dancing baby.
Oh, yeah. It is. It's great because it's the only CGI for a monster in the entire movie.
Not quite. There's a little bit more, but for the most part, yes.
Oh, yeah. There is the bit underwater.
Yeah, there's the part where the fire snake. Yeah, with the that very, underwater very beginning. One. Yes, yeah. Other than that, yeah, there's but yeah, they keep him in full CGI just so that they can, or her, I guess. She does lay a million velociraptor eggs. But they keep her in full CGI just so they can really bust on her. And you know, before I saw this, I remember hearing about that and being like, oh, sweet. I bet she gets taken down immediately and it's all stupid how bad she is. That's every monster that isn't Godzilla in this. It's embarrassing.
Oh, yeah. No, the fact that Godzilla is like shows up, absolutely womps on Zilla, and then just leaves to go do something else. You're like, haha, yeah, that'll show him. And then you're like, no, that's how every fight is in this.
They don't have time for those. We got to spend way more time on Sentai shit.
But my favorite thing about Zilla, so named because Shogo Tomiyama said that the 1998 film took the god out of Godzilla.
That's great.
Which is why they refer to it as Zilla, which I fucking love. But they have continued to use the likeness of that in a bunch of Toho things, and it's just sort of become one of their staple of kaiju now. They're like, fuck it, we love it, we don't care.
Like I was talking about before the break, Toho just incorporates whatever. You cannot embarrass Toho.
No, they're like, aw, this sucked and it was terrible. And then they use it once, and they're like, never mind, you're my precious child and I love you.
Toho, you should be embarrassed by every movie having a little boy in short shorts that's voiced by a high-pitched adult woman who just keeps whining about how you have to be nice to monsters. You should be embarrassed. And they're like, we're going to do it even harder now.
That's going to be the whole film. Fuck you. I absolutely love that shit. And this movie does not, like, at all try to, like, work up to stuff. It starts with a flying drill submarine coming through a mountain shooting at Godzilla.
Uh-huh.
Like, that is the start of the film.
Yeah. There's a bit after this. There's an initial action sequence where they're shooting, firing the maser at Godzilla in some deep underwater crevasse or at the South Pole or something. And we watch a cool action sequence where a dude has to fire the missiles out of the top of the submarine, and they're like guided missiles, but he still goes like, bah! When he's doing it, you know, he's like throwing everything into, you know, pushing this one button.
Yeah. And again, this is great because they're like, oh, we're fighting Godzilla, we got all this stuff. It does nothing. The only reason that they are able to defeat Godzilla in this beginning part is because an earthquake happens.
Yes.
And opens a crevasse under him that they then shoot missiles at a mountain to collapse everything on top of him.
Yes, and so they defeat Godzilla in that fashion, and it's all very big and dramatic. And for a little bit here, you're like, hell yeah. I forgot how much these rubber suit Godzilla movies are actually kind of fun, because they just, the energy of them is always so high.
There's something special about, like, a small rock falling on a, like, model train-sized building that all of it is very clearly just horseshit, but you're like, this is somehow magical.
Oh, it's just, it's endless magic whenever you're watching these things move around, and you're like, Fuck, how are they making that spider shoot all that rope? I guess they must have shown it a bunch of spider porn. But
that spider shooting thick rope.
And 50 people turned it off.
And we're done. Hey, at least we waited until after the break.
But yeah, there's a constructed charm to these. Like, normally, I'm not the person who you want to get into a discussion with about, like, how modern movies have ruined everything by moving to CGI backgrounds and everything. I don't give a shit. I'm pretty good at falling into a movie. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, yes, I'm still the sort of if I see, like, an obviously fake gunshot and blood mist effect that's from, like, Poser or whatever, I'll still notice that. But good effects, I'm fine with.
Yeah, I mean, it's... The thing is, there is a lot of CG in a shitload of movies that no one will ever complain about because you would never know it was CG.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at is, so I don't usually care about the difference between CG and practical effects, but with these monster movies, I people on other podcasts are always going on about how, like, you could tell they had a bunch of fucking squibs because you could see the blood packs going off. Fuck yeah! And I'm like, then... Aren't you being taken out of the movie because you're fully aware that those are little implant charge things that blow off fake blood? Like, you're just happy to see them because you think CGI is a shibboleth to get mad at, right?
Yeah.
But this movie has such a charm to it, and these Toho movies in general do, that I'm like, fuck yeah. I love it when you stand up out of water and big obvious drops of water are falling off of you instead of swimming pool-sized amounts of water.
I also honestly love, like, there's a shot in this where Godzilla breath beams the two monsters that are next to a building and just pushes the building into another building.
Yep.
And I'm like, that is not how buildings work. And I love it.
It's so adorable. There's also, I'd say probably the worst CG shot in this movie is the shot of Godzilla rising up out of the ocean. And they didn't know how to make it look good. So they just sort of applied a warp tool to the ocean.
Yeah.
And I was like, how are they going to... They're really writing themselves into a corner here. How are they going to fix this when they finally need that guy to actually come up out of the water? They're just bubbling the water up, and not with bubbles, but with one huge warp tool, and they fix it by just having white water come up from the bottom of the screen so they can, you know, put in a splash effect.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, good. You found a way out.
It's fine. Yeah, the fact that this movie is just so into what it's doing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Even I like that they've got the Earth Defense Force in this movie.
Yeah.
This takes place in 2044.
Uh-huh.
Instead of the 2004 when it came out.
Yep.
And at this point in the future, we have the standard EDF, like, super monster hunting military.
Yes.
But also we have mutant humans.
Yeah,
and what exactly makes them a mutant is just they've got an M base, but what sets them apart is never really talked about. You're like, you're a mutant.
They can do lots of cool flippy, spinny, jumpy flips.
Yeah, but so can fucking Hagar, and he isn't a mutant.
I mean, his fighting style isn't necessarily that rife with flippy, jumpy, spinny spins. He mostly is just a big badass who can take and give out punches. But our two main mutants, and by the way, we know there's mutants because they have to pay the piper at some point. After they open the movie with an amazing sequence where you can tell they built Godzilla Final Wars as a big prop and then lit it on fucking fire so that they didn't have to do CGI fire for the intro. It's like 5 minutes of a bunch of shit being flashed across the screen where they're like, in the modern day, mutants have risen up among human society. They have an M-base gene pair as opposed to the four gene type or chromosome types that normal humans have. And then we see them fighting and they can just do Sentai shit. That's what mutants do.
I was really hoping, because until we get to the end, I was hoping that it would be like, oh, you've got some level of weird superhuman shit, but mostly it's like, we're very good at jumping at each other when we punch.
Yes, they're very good at jumpy punchies, and they might be able to hold guns that other people can't, because they definitely have special guns that the mutant core gets to hold, and they never explain why they have them and no one else does. You think, like,
I think because they're so good at jumpies that they can get out of way of debris so they don't crush the guns.
How bad do you feel if you're in, like, the real EDF army and they give you a rifle and they're like, by the way, this will never penetrate the hide of any of these kaijus ever. You're just shooting for fun.
But we only have, like, two handheld Mazers, and they're going to the mutants, obviously.
And then the rest of the mutants all get these special rockety launcher things that sometimes shoot lasers and sometimes shoot rockets, but all out of the same hole. You can't have those. You get these rifles. You get the rifles because tax dollars were spent, not because of any kind of efficacy. It's because you'd look like assholes if we gave you nothing, which is what we should have given you.
What we should have given you was vacation.
And towards the very, very end of the movie, we discover that some mutants have the power to stop all lasers.
Well, not some mutants. Very specifically, only if you're a Kaiser.
Yeah, one in a million mutants.
Anyway, so the whole thing goes through. We've got, I don't know how long exactly. It's probably been maybe 20-something years.
Long enough for a young dude with a punk Sum 41 haircut to grow up into Hagar from Final Fight or Streets of Rage. Final Fight from Final Fight.
It's Godzilla Final Fight.
Yeah. Because he really does look like Hagar.
He's 100% just Hagar.
Yeah. He's the captain of the the flying drill submarine Gotengo.
Yep.
And he's just one of those military ultra badasses.
Yeah, he is one of the only white people in this, and he's just like, "Bah, I will do what needs to be done to win wars. Bah, Hagar."
Yes. So long enough for him to have become a grizzled old captain of a ship instead of a fresh young lieutenant who yells when he pushes buttons.
Now he just is quiet while other people push buttons.
Uh-huh. And if they push his buttons, they're in for a punching or a sorting.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He always has a sword on him.
He's got the only katana in the movie, which is impressive, given that he's like the only white guy in the movie as well.
Yep.
But
it's choices.
Yeah. So we're in the future, and after this long intro, we zero in on a battle sequence. It's a sparring match happening between Ozaki and Kazama, who are two of the mutants in the mutant part of the EDF.
Yes. And they're just having a good old sparring match until one of them manages to get the upper hand, and then the match gets called off, and they're like, "All right, well, there we go."
Well, yeah, they're getting too into it is the thing. They're like getting too into it. So the match gets called, and like this dude who's like the pilot of the Gotengo, but also a general, so it's weird that he doesn't outrank the captain, is like, "You two knock that off." Like, by the way, we couldn't watch this subbed. I don't know if you could find a subbed copy.
No, I could not.
Dub only is the only thing available.
Yes.
But he comes out and he's just like, "You two knock that off. The goal of this mission is not to kill each other." And one of them's like, but Chief, I won. I don't care who won. This is not about killing each other.
This isn't about winning. This is about becoming stronger than you were yesterday."
Yeah, but it turns out that Ozaki was holding back. Kazama can't understand why. He'll do whatever it takes to win.
Yeah, and it is...
And then he'll disappear for most of the movie.
Well, I mean, Ozaka's whole thing is just like, "Oh, we aren't here to fight or kill. We're here to protect people. That's what this is about."
Yes.
It's an Earth defense force, mm-hmm. not an Earth attack force. Mm-hmm. So we have to be able to do whatever. And of course, you know, the other guy's just like, "Fuck you. You got to kill bitches." And I'm like, "All right, well."
And then Kazama disappears for a long time.
Yeah.
At least maybe he does. A lot of people in this movie have very similar builds, outfits, and haircuts.
I mean, he comes back for the fight against the lobster.
Yeah. He's in that. And then there's a scene where he, like, betrays them.
Well, there's the scene where all of them betray them.
He's one of the ones that gets taken over.
Yeah.
But he gets beaten back into not being taken over. And then he Randy Quaid's his way out of the movie.
Indeed.
I mean, I could pick a different person making a suicide run on a big flying alien vehicle.
But why would
you? Why would? That's the perfect example.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the way it was filmed was very like, "Oh, this feels very Independence Day and then Star Wars
Return of the Jedi
at the end."
Yeah, because he's flying way up into the thing to hit the middle part and blow it up.
Dancing around in those guts.
He doesn't have a chance to say, "Hey, boys, remember me," or whatever the line is. "I'm back." I wish when Randy Quaid wasn't, like, an absolute terrible piece of shit, man.
Anyway, the whole thing here is the Gotengu is put into, like, repair mode because it got all fucked up when Hagar murdered some weird water snake.
Yeah, he was killing a lava snake that was deep in an underwater fissure, and he did it wrong in a way that, like, the lady in charge of the EDF is all mad at him, so she's like...
Well, they dove the ship so far underwater to like an underwater lava vent that the pressure was doing ridiculous damage. It almost lost the ship, but that's essentially the only way he could figure out to get the like snake kaiju off of the surrounding the ship.
Yeah, but this lady in charge doesn't like him and never has. And so she's like, this is my chance to finally get you the hell off that ship. So he goes into like minimum security jail for a while.
Yeah, they're like, oh, it's like Commander Gordon, I think is his name. Yeah. Like, oh, he won't be joining anyone because he's in jail for striking a superior officer.
But it's a really nice jail. They gave him two punching bags set about 3 feet apart so he can punch them both at the same time with cross punches.
Yeah.
It's a very specific type of punch training he's doing.
He's got a very specific Hagar-related punching training.
Also, he's the mayor.
Also, he is the mayor. But yeah, at this point, we get a bunch of nonsense with a biologist shows up, and she's here to study the kaiju.
Standard Godzilla, pure motherfucking filler. If you want, if you're calling it anything in particular,
yeah, it's just I am here to study the monsters. Oh, I have learned something interesting about monsters today.
Yeah, and this is mostly a love interest. She's there for as a love interest for Ozaki, and we have to have the intro where Ozaki's like, you have assigned me to be the bodyguard. I don't know who does his voice. You have assigned me to be the bodyguard of one of those scientists. I hate those crusty old farts. What could they possibly want?
They're so grumpy.
They're so grumpy and useless, and I am a badass who needs to do badass things. And then she's like, I'm not grumpy, from behind him. And he turns around and he's like, you could not be a biologist because you are a sexy model.
You are a hot lady, not working for the UN. This is horseshit.
I do like that she shuts him down hard after a couple of those where they're walking back to the car and he keeps being like, I don't understand. You look like you should be a model on the cover of a magazine. How is it that you are a biologist? One of the manly arts. And finally she's like, would you shut the fuck up? Look, never talk to me unless I ask you a direct question. That's an order. We're done.
And in fact, don't even look at me unless you are required to by the job.
Yes. I appreciated that because he was way out of line.
Yeah. It's weird because the entire film, he is supposed to be our, like, main badass good guy. He is the one who's constantly like, I decide how I use my power, whether for good or evil. It is my decision. I'm the good guy. I'm a hero. And literally every scene in the movie is him being like, we should use our powers for good. We should defend people. And then as soon as he meets a lady, he's like, what up? Why are you walking around in a lab coat, slut? And you're like, what the fuck just happened?
Are you hiding lingerie under that? That's the only reason it makes sense to me. I bet those glasses don't even have lenses in them.
It is so weird.
It's wild. It's like his mutant power is that he has the sexual politics of Andrew Dice Clay. Which is also one of Gambit's mutant powers.
Yes.
Doesn't come up often.
Not very often, but
it not you at Gambit.
It Gambit. So yes, he has one last little thing where Kazama's like, well, looks like you're a bodyguard. That's a good place for you because you suck and we're rivals. Yeah. We need to establish this now because we're not going to spend any time
on it. You and I are rivals. I have to say that you're right. I have to say that because it's going to be monsters for the next 20 minutes and then something else for the next 30 minutes.
Look, this is a 2-hour movie and most of that is monster stuff. So I got to just really come out and say, you and I do not like you because we are rivals.
You and I will have a fight.
Later, we will have a fight. Good day. I'll see you in about an hour and 15.
But then we'll learn things. And he's like, okay, I look forward to it.
Great. I love it. Enemies become friends.
Hey, before you go away, can you believe this is a scientist over here?
I could never.
She hasn't made a sandwich or nothing.
But we follow them. They go find a mummified kaiju. Oh,
I think that's Ibira, yeah.
Yes.
No, they find a mummified old kaiju, and it turns out that the kaiju has M-base in its veins.
Yes, they're like, ooh, you have the same shit in the mutant stuff that these monsters do. I wonder if you share something in common with them.
And this is an important discovery for them, because the monster is 12,000 years old, but also has lots of technological upgrades and cyborg parts in it. Yes. And they're like, well, 12,000 years ago, so humanity couldn't do that shit. And I appreciate their willingness to stay on that level of scientific correctness and not be like, also Atlantis was real and so was Mu or whatever. And those places all had super high technology.
That's where that came from.
Yeah, that's what that is. Instead, they're like, so this thing's an alien? Maybe. And I guess that means mutants are partially alien. We'll figure it out.
We'll get there. Don't worry about it.
It's all good.
But yeah, I think that one is Gigan. Gigan is one they find there.
It's just one of the Gigans. Okay.
It is a Gigan.
Yeah, because there's like two live Gigans in this movie, and then that's a dead one? Okay.
No, that's the one they reactivate.
Oh, okay. I get you.
Yeah.
Because there's another one that comes out later with cool, stupid fork chainsaw hands.
Which I'm not sure if that's just... because Gigan is the first one that when they wake up Godzilla, he goes to fight.
Yes.
And just shoots his head immediately off and then walks away. And I was like, oh, did they just salvage him?
Just rebuild him real
quick? Rebuild him? Because he is basically just a cyborg with a little bit of flesh on him.
Yeah, I guess they switched out his hands for chainsaws and called it a day.
Pretty much.
Okay, that seems reasonable. I didn't know one way or the other. But yeah, so this is one of the Gigans then. Right around this time, he's still griping about being a bodyguard, but oh no, we've got a call. There's kaijus.
Monsters are attacking different cities like Paris and Sydney.
And Okinawa.
And we get a few different shows. We get Anguirus, the armadillo one.
I like to think of him as an ankylosaur one, but yes, they call him an armadillo. I know.
So it doesn't matter what you think.
I know. Go ahead.
We get Zilla in Sydney.
Zilla's in Sydney. We get Rodan attacking New York.
Yep, which is also where we get...
the most stupid...
God damn it.
I think this was like, Americans are crazy for Godzilla because of 1998 Godzilla. Let's put America shit in here so that they'll appreciate it more. Or they're just straight up making fun of us. I don't know which one it is.
I couldn't tell you... but there is just a scene in New York where a guy is getting his car towed and...
giant pink pimp car.
He is just the full black pimp stereotype.
Uh-huh.
And I will say this to the cop who seems completely nonplussed about this man pulling a gun on him. It is very weird that he's like... I'll fucking kill you if you take my car. And he's like, put your gun down.
Jeez. And meanwhile, there's another black actor. There's like three of them in the whole movie. Sitting on a bench behind him who's just super drunk. He's doing the drink.
Yeah, he's a hobo.
He's doing the hobo drink with the bottle in the brown paper bag. And he keeps laughing at this whole altercation playing out in front of him. And then he notices a giant birdie. Birdie, everybody. Birdie.
Look, behind you.
Yeah. This movie features a lot of characters, apparently seeing Rodan, which normally I would be like, how are you doing that? He's going like 3,000. He sets the air on fire. He's really fast.
Yeah, that's one of his superpowers is just sort of, I couldn't tell if it was heat or shockwave.
Yeah.
But just after he flies by something, it explodes, essentially.
Yeah, that's always been his biggest power. He's like a lava pteranodon, and he goes fast enough that he can start fires behind him.
Great for this because all three of them see him and then he flies by and they explode.
Yes, it just blows the scene up, so we're done with it.
I love that they're like, what do we know about America? Guns, the police, drinking. Like, great, you did it.
Pimps are still a thing, yes? Okay, let's just make that. And by pimps are still a thing, I mean, not that sex trafficking and abuse is still a thing, but like cartoon 70s pimps?
Yes.
Like Starsky and Hutch pimps?
Yeah. Full on. It is an amazing little like, oh, what's the one thing we're going to say about America? Oh, that they'll pull guns on anyone.
Yes.
Great. Love it.
And their Godzilla is stupid. We know. We didn't like it either.
It was weird to me that they didn't put Zilla in New York and instead put Rodan there. Because I was like, oh, you can at least go full hog on it and be like, yeah, here you go. Here's your shitty Godzilla.
I would have loved it, but I'm guessing that they initially wrote it that way and realized they had no way for their shitty-ass Godzilla to end that scene as quickly as Rodan could. Zilla would have had to step on the scene for it to end. That Zilla can't even breathe energy or anything.
Nope.
Fucking useless crap.
Useless ass.
The worst part about that is that Zilla's not even the bad part of the Godzilla movie.
It's Matthew Broderick.
It's not even him. It's Hank Azaria and whoever plays his wife. Because they're the ones who are the icons of New York in that, where they're just sitting there like, Godzilla's walking by and they're like, "Hey, it must be a parade or something coming up 51st Street. After you think you feel a bunch of them, you don't care no more. I've got a biscotti." There's that.
So, yes, we get a bunch of monsters. They send out a bunch of different, ships. The Gotenko is the only one that gets to be a submarine and a drill and a ship at the same time.
Most of them are these hovery things. They're just sort of big hovering battleship Yamamoto deals.
Yeah. And they send a whole bunch out to try and fight these guys. And eventually, they all disappear.
Oh, well, all the monsters disappear.
Yes.
But not until they've destroyed every one of these military flying battleship things, except for the Gotenko, which is hidden.
No, man, that's way later.
Oh, is everything? Okay, so yeah, you're right. That's way later, after they release all the monsters at once.
Yes.
But yeah, they're getting all beat up by these monsters, and then right at once, they all just disappear.
Yeah. And we also get a scene where we see the Rodan flying past the new UN secretary.
That was the scene that bothered me about people being able to see Rodan. Like, he's looking out an airplane window, and he's like, "What is that? What is that thing?" And then Rodan passes them, and the plane explodes, and I was like, have you ever looked out an airplane window? You've got like 19 degrees of angle of incidence. You can't see that guy 30 miles behind you.
Well, he wasn't behind. He came at them. He T-boned him.
He didn't. He went past them and then exploded them with the shockwave like he always does.
Well, you see, he's very big.
That is true. He is very big.
He big.
I still call shenanigans, but also I don't give a shit because this is the kind of movie where shenanigans are appropriate. Appropriate shenanigans is the name of my improv night.
An appropriate level of shenanigans.
Yeah, we're very serious. It's improv that's drama.
We call it improma.
Not enough people doing improma, if you ask me. I have the cancer.
Yes, and I'm very sad about that.
It's especially sad because I'm former U.S. President Ulysses S. Grant.
Yes, and we are in a movie theater.
We are seeing Philadelphia. It is pertinent to my interest because I also have the cancer.
How poignant.
Oh, no, wait. I think it's AIDS in Philadelphia.
Yes.
This has no bearing on me.
This means nothing to me.
Why doesn't Tom Hanks care about my problems? Ulysses S. Grant. Anyway, tune into Improma coming soon into theaters near you. And by near you, I mean really inconvenient.
Very inconvenient theaters.
No parking.
Yeah, so they all disappear, and then the secretary, who we thought was dead because his plane blew up, shows up and he's like, "Hello, everyone. It is I, the UN secretary. I got saved by these aliens, and no one knows what they're... We can't pronounce their name, so we'll call them Exalians."
You may call us Exalians. Our name is unpronounceable in your tongue.
Is it Jeff? Yes. Oh, I didn't think you could make that sound.
Just try, guy.
Come on,
just
man.
Just try. Just give me one real
give
quick.
Give me a shot.
Give me one real quick. Let me tell you my opinion on Contact again real quick. If you're holding out a true form on me, I'm going to be real mad.
Oh, baby, are we ever.
I'll work it out in my improma classes later, but I'll be real mad.
Now, he shows up and, of course, is like, "Ah, they have saved us from these monsters, and they are here to also save us from impending doom. A rogue planet is going to collide with Earth and destroy it, but we can all join forces with them and shoot a big laser at it, and then we will no longer be United Nations. We will be Space Nations." And I was like, "God damn it, you should have been United Planets."
Yeah.
How did you choose the wrong word out of Nations?
Maybe they tried it. Maybe the first day of filming, they were like, "We will no longer be the United Nations. We will be the United Federation of Planets." And someone was like, no,
hold on.
We got a phone call. I'm getting a phone call from Paramount.
I'm getting some news. And they were like, "We're Toho. We don't give a fuck."
We will be the Galactic Alliance. No, hang on.
Hold on.
We shall call ourselves the Suicide Squad.
We'll be some kind of Suicide Squad?
No!
No!
But
we are no longer men of Earth. We are now X-Men. United. God damn it.
X-Men United 3, Thanos' Return. That's a long name for our organization. It will make sense later.
Don't worry. You're going to love this in about 15 years.
Okay.
Anyway.
So anyway, yeah, he's obviously an alien.
Yeah, he's very clearly been replaced by an alien. Yeah. But we have a little bit of dissension in the alien ranks. We have the main alien leader guy and his very clearly backstabby underling.
We very much have an Emperor and Kefka scenario going on here.
Oh, yeah. This is definitely a Starscream sort of scenario here.
Yeah, the reason I'm calling it the Emperor and Kefka is because, much like Kefka, he succeeds at taking out the Emperor and taking over, where Starscream
does not.
Periodically fails in a hilarious fashion.
Yeah. So we have most of them unnamed, but our main bad guy, the underling who will eventually take over, decides to call himself X. Because it's sexy and mysterious.
And because he's an ex-alien anyway. I'm X, the ex-alien.
Great.
I'm ready to participate in your Earth X games. Do you have any Sum 41 music a bro could listen to?
So much Sum 41. The entire soundtrack of this movie, Sum 41 and Zebra Head.
I wonder how hard it's going to be for us to finally get around to interviewing Sum 41 after watching this and Dirty Love.
Man, Sum 41, you really were in a lot of shit we watched for some reason.
Did you get paid a lot of money for doing half the music in Final Wars? Yes, that's rad.
Good.
That's good. I'm glad.
You deserve it.
Could you guys beat up Zebra Head, the other band that did the other half of the music? I thought so, too.
Yeah. Now, we get some horse shit where eventually they figure out that people are aliens.
Yeah, it all boils down to there are two love interests in the movie, one of them for Ozaki and the other one for Hagar. And Hagar's one is just a random reporter who's interviewing the prime minister towards the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, she had interviewed him before he got replaced. So she's like, oh, what about your dog? And he's like, my what?
Yes.
Oh, no. Now I realize that you are someone else because you didn't do even cursory information background digging into this guy.
Yeah, which you'd think they would. I mean, they're flying around in this giant sphere that's as big as like Tokyo. So you think that they have a lot of cool technology and shit up in there. They don't. They also discover that they're faking the whole planet invasion thing because they sent the same video of the planet approaching to all the planetariums on or observatories in the world.
Yeah, all of them, when they were like, oh, they all went to look and see what was going on with this incoming planet, and it is literally the exact same image in all of them, like some kind of hologram.
Exactly. So, or at least they didn't think about, like, angle of incidence, or maybe you wouldn't be able to see it from one side of the planet right now, because it's on the other side of the planet.
Nope.
And they just didn't worry about that. They were just like, meh.
Meh.
So that's great.
Yeah, so then someone attacks the secretary, and
yeah,
they
like
get
an
a little bit of his blood, and ooh, he's got the same M base that the mutants and the monsters do. He's clearly an ex-alien. And then they reveal that on live TV after the fucking reporter is like, ah, I brought a dog. Do you not recognize this dog? And he's like, oh, of course, that's my dog. Yes, of course. Come here.
Come
he's
here,
like,
dog.
Ha ha. No, it's my dog, you fucking idiot. I fooled you, you dumb asshole.
I really wanted it to just be turned out that he's had a really traumatic couple of days because he did just recently get rescued from an exploding airplane by aliens.
He's like, oh, no, my dog looks exactly like that. No,
we have the same dog. We both have a French bulldog. This is an amazing coincidence. However, you have elected to embarrass me on live TV in front of these aliens.
For no reason.
Why would you do that?
I also absolutely love that this fucking bulldog will continue to show up in this movie randomly, like, at certain points, we'll just cut to this reporter, and she's, like, standing in a ruined city covered in dirt and just a happy little bulldog with her. And I'm like, that's great.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. So at this point, with this revealed, the Gordon comes in, Commander Gordon. He's been rescued because we've been building an underground resistance for the past couple of scenes. Most of the mutants plus a few of the remaining soldiers, and Gordon has been rescued from prison. He shoots the fake Secretary General, who splits open Independence Day style to reveal an alien inside.
Yep.
And then the main guy, the big bald main guy, is like, okay.
Can explain. There's a reason we did this. And then X just murders him.
He just murders him. He's like, yeah, I don't need to explain shit. You people are cows to us. And we're going to take over with monsters the way I was hoping to do it in the first place. Fuck all of you. Goodbye. And
they're like, we'll stop you. And they call in all of the mutants.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, oh, you don't understand. We control anything with an M base in it. And he does a little wow thing, and all of the mutants clutch their head, and they're all fucked up, except for Ozaki.
Ozaki's just fine. A mystery is afoot.
Oh, no.
Oh, also, meanwhile, while all this other shit is happening, a little boy in the woods has found Mila, and he's just like, hello, you are Mila, and you are my friend.
Oh, grandfather, do not shoot at him. He is my friend Mila.
But I am an old-timey Japanese hunter.
I need to shoot anything I see. No, grandfather, I will not let you.
No, let's put him in your converted minivan instead.
No, he must be my friend forever. He is Mila. We are now friends now, grandfather.
Yeah, we need that. That's just also happening.
But yeah, all of the mutants turn on them. And our, like, captain of the ship that we had before that wasn't Hagar is like, I'll hold them off because I'm a badass guy. I'm in charge of mutants, but I'm apparently not a mutant. I'm just the guy in charge of mutants.
It's Matrix rules. Ship captains are hand-to-hand combat badasses.
Yeah, so he manages to fight a room full of super soldiers.
Yeah, we never do establish what makes them super exactly. We know they can do lots of jumpy, spinny flips, but we don't. Like, he can't do that. But he's still beating them up
sure,
anyway.
He flips and kicks people. He does all sorts of shit.
He does regular spinny, flippy kicks. They're doing super spinny, flippy kicks.
You can tell because reasons.
When he hits them, they don't go flying backwards into walls.
Yeah, neither do they.
Well, yeah, they're mutants.
When they hit each other, they didn't go flying. No one goes flying.
Yes, they do. That's how the first big fight ends. The sparring match ends with Kazama kicking Ozaki hard enough that he flies like 30 feet backwards into a fence. And then he jumps on top of him and is like, I will defeat you. So, yeah, they can do that whole like super shonen knockback bullshit. They can do it. They can all do it. That's what mutants do, baby.
I don't believe you.
Okay, watch the movie again.
All right, hold on, pause. I'm going to watch the whole movie again.
We'll be right back after we watch the movie again.
So they take off, do all of the like main characters that are left, and the only one of the mutants who manages to follow after them is, of course, Kazama.
Yes.
So that Ozaki and Kazama can have a
Matrix motorcycle
fight. And indeed they do, and Ozaki manages to hit Kazama with his motorcycle at the end and knock him out and take him on board the ship.
Yeah, for a movie that's got Godzilla fighting all the monsters in it, that's the best fight in this movie, and it makes me sad.
It's true. Most of the fight choreography in this sucks absolute ass when it's against people.
Yes.
Because it is extremely fast cuts where I'm like, I can't tell anything that's going on. You won't show a blow landing anywhere.
Yeah, but the slow motion shot of him trying to jump kick Ozaki off his motorcycle and Ozaki responding by going onto his front wheel only, jumping from his front wheel only, still on the bike, and then whirling the bike around so he uses it like a foot to kick Kazama in the face.
Yep.
With his back bike wheel.
It's a great bit.
It's a cool shot.
So now that X is in charge and he doesn't give a fuck, he's like, all right, Gigan, wake up. And he wakes up the mummy that they had been looking at because you can't really kill a thing that's mostly robot. So it just pops up and is like, all right, go fuck bitches up. We're going to send a whole bunch of like our little spaceship things that look like little witch fingernails. Like,
yeah, this movie is
I just send out bugles to take over the Earth.
It's amazing how much this movie, for being a Godzilla film, is about half Independence Day and half Matrix.
Yeah. And
and a little pinch of Flight of the Navigator for what those spaceships look like.
So they manage to fuck a lot of shit up.
Yes, they do.
And like most of the planet has just been absolutely fucked over by all of these various spaceships and whatnot going around. As we had said earlier, this is the point where all of the ships except for the Gotengu have been fucked up because it's in an underground base for repairs.
Which they haven't found yet, thank God. And I love the part where they're discussing what the plan is because Hagar's like, all right, here's the plan. I'm going to wake up fucking Godzilla, and I'm just going to have him follow my ship because he's mad at it all the way back to the main fight, and then he'll win the fight. Well, then what are you going to do? Then Godzilla's running around. Then I'll just have him follow my ship back to the South Pole and trap him in the South Pole again.
Just do the same shit I did before.
And then it cuts to, like, this random, like, dude in charge. I don't know what he's like. He's like some functionary.
Some random guy.
And he's just like, the most dramatic scene of the movie. He's just like, you mean, you intend, your plan is to go release Godzilla, have Godzilla follow you, lead him to the enemy monsters, have him fight the enemy monsters, then have him fight the enemy spaceship. Then, after he wins and they all lose and you're still alive and he's still alive, have him follow you back to the South Pole where you'll bury him again. Yes. I just like that people keep being like, but that wouldn't work. It's impossible. And I'd be like, well, what the fuck else are we going to do?
Well, yeah, that's the great thing about this scene is he's like, we lost.
Yeah.
Humanity is fucked.
Yeah.
All of our cities are absolutely destroyed. Like, we are just boned, and there's no way we can stop this. So unleashing Godzilla, they're like, oh, but what if he rampages? He's like, what's he going to do? Wreck a building? We're already fighting in ruins.
It's one more monster. How bad could it be? We're already covered in them.
So, yeah, they go fucking wake up Godzilla. We get a bunch of business by a couple of the guys stationed at the Godzilla South Pole area.
Yep.
And they're just like,
for some reason, they're dressed in Hawaiian shirts. And
yeah, it seems
Hawaiian.
Like some more American stuff.
Yeah, I think so.
Where they just added it in because it's just two guys who are like, hey, someone's coming, and they're going to wake up Godzilla. What?
And then Godzilla wakes up and immediately lasers their facility out of existence. And like,
just kills them immediately.
Just immediately. He's like, ah, you two, you're in charge of the facility I was housed in. Fuck you directly.
Okay, well, fuck you. And now,
and then he turns to the ship, and they just, one of the things I love about this movie is them just saying what's happening. He still thinks he's in the fight from 20 years ago.
And the great thing is they are relying on the Exalians to not realize that Godzilla is pissed at the humans.
Yeah.
Because Hagar fucking sends a message. Also, I will never learn what his real name is.
Gordon.
Don't care. He's Hagar. Hagar sends a message to the Exalians. He's like, there's one thing you didn't think
two
about.
Two things about Earth you didn't know.
Me and Godzilla. And they're like, oh, they've got a fucking monster we can't control. We should send monsters to fight it. Whereas if they hadn't, he would have just murdered Hagar and been like, cool.
Yeah. If there's one thing I wish that this movie had done differently, I wish that Ozaki wasn't even in it. Because Hagar versus the villain would have been better. Largely just because of the scene where he's like, yes, I'm going to get Godzilla and we're going to do the thing. At the end, he goes, let's go. I want to kick that alien kid's ass.
Yeah. I'm going to have Godzilla fight the monsters so I can go fight that asshole.
He never does. And I'm like, let me watch him punch that guy.
So Gigan shows up, gets immediately one shot, basically.
Yeah, he throws like some ropes on Godzilla or whatever, and Godzilla's just like, what the fuck is blah, and just
blow your head up.
Fuck this.
All right, well, fuck you. And then we get our fight against Zilla, where he just like throws her into the opera house and breathes on her and is like, and done.
Yep. Zilla gets 5 seconds, and they start the 5 seconds by queuing up some sweet new metal to let you know again, this is the shitty American one.
He manages to go fight the spider and just throws it into space.
The spider's great. I like all the ones that clearly don't have a person in there. Although I think there actually is a person operating the spider from inside, but it's just such a puppety thing.
It's great.
Yeah. He throws the spider into space. Then he goes to fight Anguirus, but not alone. Anguirus.
No. He has to defeat whatever the flying, like the dragonfly mantis is.
Yeah, I don't know what that thing is. That's one of the ones I didn't know. I want to call it a Mudo just because dragonfly mantises are what the villains from the 2014 one.
I mean, we've got Kumanga and Manda and Kamakuras. That's it. It's Kamakuras because it has parentheses, Gimantis, which I assume is what they would call that.
All right. So Kumanda, who I believe he just sort of bowls over. Like
throws it into a tower, which impales the bug.
That's right. Yeah, it gets impaled. But it's all that is the scene where the awful water bump effect, where he comes up to Okinawa or whatever the fuck that thing was attacking, and then just kills it on the way in. And then he gets in a huge fight with three of them at once when he's fighting Anguirus, King Caesar, who's the one that looks like a Chinese style Foo Lion or Foo Dog, but bipedal and very poorly done. Like, I've always thought that King Caesar is one of the stupidest looking ones because for whatever reason, it looks like he's wearing Princess Leia's slave bikini.
Okay.
And also, I think Rodan is in that fight too.
Yes. It's the three of them fighting. And of course, we also have child, grandfather, and Mila watching because we have to set up that Mila is going to slightly grow here.
Mm-hmm.
But we get the entire fight. This, of course, is going to be our longest fight so far for a monster because there's three of them, so he can't just absolutely stomp one of them and continue on his way.
His fight with three of them is about three times as long as his fight with one of them, as he quickly dispatches and easily dispatches all of them like it's nothing.
We get a fun little soccer thing where Anguirus turns into a ball and fucking King Caesar gets a goal on Godzilla.
Yeah, kicks it at him. I like the two times in a row where King Caesar goes for like a big old jump kick and just gets caught and thrown, so he lands with his back on Anguirus' spikes.
Yes.
He's just like, ah, oh, fuck, come on! also, during this sequence, just let it be known, just like we were talking about the grandfather and the little boy and Mila, also in some cave somewhere, two little Japanese women in miniskirts are waking up Mothra so Mothra can go fuck shit up too.
Yeah.
Just also happening.
Yeah, they had a weird point where three of the people, like, got psychically transported to their cave so they could get a weird little artifact that will be a special tool that will come in handy later.
Yeah. It ends up in the hands of the biologist lady. But yeah, those two Japanese women also summon Mothra around here.
Yeah. It is great because Mothra never fights with Godzilla in this movie, which is weird to me.
They're not supposed to. They're allies.
They're not even supposed to be allies. I mean, the big thing, Godzilla, historically, for some reason, Americans think of Godzilla and Mothra as being allies, and yet they never are. They are always enemies.
I'll tell you why I thought they were allies, because in the old Nintendo Godzilla game, those were the two monsters you could play as.
Yeah, well.
Well, who knows, I guess.
Yeah, it's just occasionally they are on the same side, but they never fight together.
But in the most recent, I want to call Godzilla Destroy All Monsters or whatever, the one that was the sequel to the 2014 or 2008 Godzilla movie, Mothra is in it and is an ally of Godzilla. So Americans have wanted that to be true enough that it is now.
Yes.
But yeah, in this, I don't think they have time to explain the complex interplay between Godzilla and Mothra. There's like 40 other monsters to get through.
No, what they had was enough time to go, oh, back in the day, Mothra fought Gigan. So now when they put second Gigan out, yes, we've had one Gigan. What about second Gigan?
What about second Gigan?
That will be when Mothra shows up to be like, ooh, I'll fight second Gigan. That's what I care about.
After first Gigan, or whoever that was, I don't know the name of the new one. Because he turns into King Ghidorah, but he's not King Ghidorah in the beginning. I don't know who he is.
I mean, he's just King Ghidorah.
Okay.
In a weird version of him.
He's like a bio suit. He looks like a Guyver.
Yeah. Honestly, I fucking loved that. It was great.
Yeah. Movie was really missing like a Jet Jaguar. I was really hoping that would be Ozaki's secret Kaiser mutant power, was that he was Jet Jaguar. But anyway, we get one scene of the mutant team fighting against, I think it's called Ibira. It's the crayfish or lobster looking one.
Yep.
That's neat because this happened way earlier. I just wanted to mention there was a human versus kaiju fight in this where they were like ground level humans versus a kaiju and they win.
Yep.
That was neat to watch. Anyway, get back to it. After he defeats these three, he goes off to get in another fight with a bunch of monsters. I think he takes out...
This is the two-for-one.
The two-for-one where
he takes out...
Ibira again.
The smog monster and Ibira.
And I want to say Biollante, but if I'm wrong about the sludge pile monster, then let me know. I'll look it up and see if I'm right or wrong. But yeah, they just... The Ibira comes jumping out of the ocean slightly wrong, so one of its claws gets stuck in the side of the sludge monster. And then Godzilla just walks up and is like, I will take advantage of this situation, and kills both of them immediately. Yeah.
And at this point, they have decided that since Godzilla's, you know, taking care of most of the monsters, they are going to try and assault the actual spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when we get the full, you know, Independence Day thing. And they go in. they try and shoot the maser in order to make an opening for the ship, but they have a bubble. So instead, Kazama gets into a fighter,
mm-hmm.
flies apparently through the energy field, doesn't stop if you're just a ship going through.
Nope.
So just flies into the UFO, blows up a couple of their little fighter jet things, and then slams his jet into the core, which shuts down
one of the two shields.
The shields.
And okay, before I really don't want to make a bunch of King or of Godzilla fans angry. It's Ghidorah, that is the sludge monster. The Biollante, the one I kept saying is the big like walking Venus flytrap.
Ah, okay.
Okay, so Ghidorah is the big slimy one.
I was going to say, I have a list of the names of all of the ones that were in here. I just don't know what most of those mean.
Yeah, I don't think
when you're like, ah, yes, he fought Manda. I'm like, I don't know who Manda is. Ah, Kumonga. Sure. Minya. All right.
looks like Manda is that big snake they fight at the very beginning.
Oh, that's right. He even says Manda when they're fighting it.
Yeah.
Oh, Manda. Anyway, we're...
And Kumonga is the spider.
Oh, okay. Kumonga the spider.
Kumonga. Yeah, yeah.
Kumonga.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so there we go.
Anyway, then they just slam a jam their drill ship into the main ship.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh no, aliens can teleport. So they all just teleport onto the bridge.
They're like,
kill everyone who's an extra.
Yeah, kill all the extras. I have special plans for you.
Yeah, we're going to take you, the named people, with us.
Yeah. And is like, did you really think we'd let you? I just let you in here as a joke. It doesn't matter. But then when he gets them up to his big, they drag him up to his office where he's still standing. This is X, the bad guy. And X is about to show off that Godzilla is dying. But as he tries to do so, Godzilla kills the two monsters he's fighting. And he gets like comically mad.
That's God why I was, damn it.
That's why I was reading so much Kefka energy from this guy. Because he's just like, you know, he's like flinging his arms around all grumpy.
Oh, he does like great expressive facial yeah. work in this.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that Ozaki keeps trying to do it, but the actor for that is not as good at it as the guy that does X.
Yeah.
Because the X guy has real Joker vibes to him.
He's got a lot of panache.
Something chilling about him.
A man who thinks crime is funny?
But then they send in their heavy hitter, which is basically Guyver version of King Ghidorah.
Yeah, he looks super cool. He's like a power armor monster. And
yeah.
They fight for a long time. I was disappointed when he turned into King Ghidorah, because as much as I was like, oh, obviously they got to put King Ghidorah in this. He's kind of the
biggest. Oh, yeah, I kept waiting for him. I was like, yeah. Where the fuck are you?
But it's just disappointing when that thing turns into regular ass. Well, almost regular ass. It's a weird take on King Ghidorah in this movie, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's got four legs. Normally, King Ghidorah has two legs, wings, three heads.
Yeah.
But in this, he's like a centaur with three dragon heads and wings. It's a weird look. I don't
hate
it.
Quadrupedal Ghidorah.
Yeah, quadrupedal Ghidorah. But yeah, so this cool power armor version of I guess not yet, Prince Ghidorah comes out and they get in a cool knockdown, drag out punch fight where...
Plus, second Gigan is there just because we needed something for Mothra to do.
And also so that Prince Ghidorah can hold down Godzilla and he gets slashed across the tummy. We have a scene here where he almost loses, does Godzilla, until he finds the spirit to win, or until Mothra shows up.
Yeah, Mothra manages to at least distract Gigan enough to get him murdered,
mm-hmm.
which was good. They let Mothra get the kill shot on second Gigan.
Yeah, that was neat. It was neat to watch that happen, especially because Mothra had lost a chunk of a wing to Gigan earlier.
Yep.
It was a cool bit.
We get some business on the bridge where we find out that Ozaki is actually a Kaiser, the one in a million version of a human Exalian crossover that has ultra superpowers.
Yep, and we find out there's a whole grand alien conspiracy where they came down here a long time ago and interbred so they could have some like helpers on the planet, but they need our regular human mitochondria to survive.
Which is weird, because I'm like, well, you haven't been here for like 12,000 years. What were you doing to survive before this?
Did you just take a bunch of humans and recently run out?
Did you fuck up? Did you have too much human?
Do you really need humans for that? Mitochondria are pretty
straightforward. Pretty much the powerhouse of the cell.
I mean, you could get them out of like a cow or something. You don't have to just call us cows. We have more cows.
So he awakens the Kaiser within Ozaki, and this momentarily turns him evil until the biologist stabs him with the artifact that they got from Cave Mothra, and he goes, oh yeah, that's right, I'm supposed to be good.
Yes.
Thanks for stabbing
Thanks.
Me.
Yeah, we have a lot of people realizing that they need to win towards the end. A lot of the end of the movie is people going like, I'm losing. Well, what if we shot you or stabbed you or something? I'm winning!
Yeah.
And by a lot of people, I mean Ozaki and Godzilla.
Yeah. So then Ozaki and X have a good Matrix fight where, yes, like a bunch of guys come in and shoot lasers at him, and he does the whole like hold up a hand and all the lasers stop and then throws them back.
I'm sad that we never see anything like that again. After that, his mutant powers revert right back to being really good at jumpy spinny kicks.
Yep. I was very sad because we even see X is like, oh, when he goes to awaken his Kaiser thing, like Sith lightnings him.
Yeah. And he's like glowing in some shots.
A lot more nonsense.
Yeah. I just looked it up, and the Ghidorah before he turns into Ghidorah is just called Monster X.
Monster X!
Which is kind of a lame name when you got X as a bad guy and the X aliens and everything. You're
yeah,
overusing it.
They're from
it.
Planet X.
They're from Brand X. Food fight crossover.
Brand X.
Wait till we find out that Sum 41 did most of the music for Food Fight as well.
Ah! Sum 41, most of the voices in Food Fight. Anyway, they have a fight, and
Triangle wins.
X becomes victorious, and then is like, ha-ha, see? You suck, and you will be cattle, for humans suck. And he's like, how dare you insult humans? Now I go Super Saiyan and win.
Yeah, he goes all glowy and beats him up real bad. I like that he sort of just gasps and dies in the background while they're all like, yay, we won! And X is still rolling around in the ground behind him like, ah! Oh, ouch!
No, he dies when, you know, the ship blows up.
The ship does blow up,
because he sets it
yeah.
to self-destruct as soon as he loses.
I won't die alone.
Yeah, you'll take all of the other Exalians with you.
That's what I meant.
Hagar gets a scene where he gets to fist fight two Exalians and win.
That's a great scene, because he has the sword and he stabs it into a wall.
And he's just like, yeah, punch me.
Fisting it up. And they're like, okay.
We've got guns, but I guess,
it does
sure.
end on a bad note, though, because it's a male and female Exalian. And after he finishes beating up the man one, he just gets ready to punch the girl one. And she's like, you wouldn't hit a woman, would you? And he switches his punch to a slap and just goes, yeah. And he slaps the crap out of her, and I'm like, ah, come on.
He karate chops her, to be fair. I was, because he turns from fist to open palm, and I was like, oh my god, if you slap her, I'm going to be so angry. But then he just goes, chop into her neck, and she falls down. I was like, all right, that's better.
It's something. I guess it's a little
better. It's better than slapping her.
It's still weird for an alien super warrior to be like, you wouldn't hit a woman, would you? Like, where did you even get that? Have you been watching a lot of old movies?
Yes. So they manage to escape the self-destructing ship,
uh-huh.
But when they get out, oh no, King Ghidorah has Godzilla in his clutches and is draining the life out of him.
Yes, as he is now transformed from this cool Guyver-looking Monster X thing into quadrupedal King Ghidorah, who wins over Godzilla real easy until they shoot a giant laser at him.
We need to power up Godzilla, and so Ozaki uses all of his Super Saiyan powers and puts it into a power-up Godzilla laser that they shoot him with?
Yes, and then Godzilla is so powerful now that having your teeth sunk into him is dangerous because he has little explosions. And so he just blows all the chunks off of Ghidorah.
And just rips this motherfucker's heads off immediately.
It goes so fast after this. The first two heads are gone in 5 seconds.
He's just like, oh, I got blasted. All right, well, I'm going to breath one of your heads off. I'm going to smack your other head so hard with this head that it comes off.
And then I'll use the third head to kind of swing you around a little bit just for fun. I'll just do some Hulk puny god bullshit on you. And then pretty much take the last head off after that. We're done.
Yeah. And then I'm going to throw you into space and shoot you with breath lasers so hard you explode in space.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. It's all very fun. The only problem I have with most of the Godzilla sequences is that he is either categorically losing or just easily clowning on everybody. The fights are all very one-sided.
Well.
But
I mean, I'll say his fight with Monster X was great.
It's cool.
It was an actual fight.
It was the closest thing. All the rest of the monsters in this just feel like like fan service, and that's all they are. They show up. They're like, yep, that's King Caesar. That's what he looks like.
And now he's done.
Done with him.
But yeah, he turns around, sees the fucking ship that he has been wanting to fight, and just blasts it, and it falls. So they all get out and are like, ah, now we'll fight Godzilla with a katana and a handgun that I have.
Yeah.
And that's when Milla shows up.
And I like that they don't show how big Milla gets when he does his growing up thing. They just use a camera trick to indicate that something off screen is getting significantly larger.
Yep.
And then when he runs up, you're like, well, maybe he'll be like much bigger. No, he's like 10 feet tall.
I mean, he's very big. he's much big, bigger than that.
He's so small compared to Godzilla that it's hilarious that he grew, that he even grew.
Like, he is the size of a standard suburban home, whereas Godzilla is the size of a skyscraper. He comes up to Godzilla's, like, knee, maybe.
Yeah, and then we get the big dramatic scene of the little boy saying, no, don't shoot Milla, he's a friend, and doing his, like, I will put my body in front of him, while Milla is doing the same thing to stop Godzilla from vaporizing all these humans.
Yeah, I love that it's the little kid being like, no, grandfather, you cannot shoot Godzilla. No, we must forgive and be good. I'm like, your grandfather has a normal ass rifle. There is nothing he could do with that.
Yeah, I think the only thing he could do with that is make Godzilla aware that he's being shot at, which is probably enough for him to breath weapon everybody.
Like, it's a good idea to stop your idiot grandpa from trying to shoot Godzilla,
because
that would just kill you.
I mean, I'll be honest, as much as I like the well-done shot of spiraling around both giant Milla and this little kid in one camera move to show that they're both doing the arms out, don't shoot me behind things behind me, it's a cute gesture and I love it. I would have really liked to watch Hagar fight Godzilla with a katana.
Right? So we had established earlier that Godzilla hates humanity because humanity set off a nuke and he cannot forgive humanity for doing that.
Yes.
So the end of this is them being like, Godzilla, it's time to forgive. We must live in peace. And he just kind of goes, all right, fine, fuck it, and walks off into the sunset with Milla.
You look pretty fucked up anyway. I guess someone already got to you.
Looks around, he's like, oh, you guys are absolutely fucked. All right, sure.
So impassioned speech where they're like, Godzilla, no, I know that there were nuclear bomb tests and they angered you, but it's time to forgive. Plus, look how fucked up our whole planet is. Also, look at us compared to you. We're just little guys. Also, it's our birthday.
Come on. And Godzilla's like, all right. Just walks off with Milla, and that's...
Then we connect our two sets of love interests, because that reporter that used the dog trick on the Secretary General, I guess, is Gordon Hagar's love interest for some reason.
Oh, yeah, and the Secretary General is actually alive and on the ship and was rescued.
Oh, yeah, he got rescued, too. He's like, ah, yes, I've had a very weird couple of days.
It's been fucked up, let me tell you. I barely even remember my dog's name. If someone were to ask me live on TV, I don't know I'd remember.
I might be too flustered to answer that question in that scenario.
But I'm sure no one would do that. That would be an asshole move.
Who would dream of doing that? I would need a moment to rebond with my beautiful black French bulldog. And then we cut to credits.
And that's it.
That's it. It's a rip-roaring ride is what this is.
Top to bottom. So let's go ahead and get into our bests and worsts. What was the best part of Godzilla Final Wars?
I think the thing I responded to the strongest was when the new metal kicked in as Zilla showed up to try and get in a fight with regular Godzilla.
Okay.
That scene where, like, Zilla shows up and you get that, like, I'm living my life in pain. You're like, oh, that's fucking, that is good commentary. I get it. So that moment, that was the thing that got the biggest immediate, like, any laugh out of me, so I have to give it to that.
Okay.
Yeah, what about you?
Oh, man, it's probably gotta be, I want to say, the five guys fighting a kaiju. Like, that's great. Having it be like, oh, no, and we can actually win. Like, the Earth Defense Force has gotten to the point where it's not just a kaiju shows up and we get fucked until a different kaiju takes care of it.
Yes.
Like, they actually have their shit together. It's neat to see that in a kaiju movie.
It is neat. Yeah. I mean, their shit still includes, like, we'll send out thousands and thousands of soldiers and useless tanks.
Yeah.
We just like to watch them fall apart when big styrofoam rocks fall on them.
It's just funny.
We could such a chuckle.
All right. Worst thing in the movie.
It's definitely you're a scientist, but you are so hot. I think you are not a scientist, but a model. bit. That is, what the fuck was that?
So fucking out of place. For the character, for the movie.
He's like a straight-laced military man.
It's weird.
I think there's another weird moment with him as well, where he goes to talk to like the lady in charge of the defense force or whatever, and he's like, she's like, "Ensign, what do you want?" He's like, "It's time for us to step out our defenses because these aliens are very dangerous." And she's like, "Yeah, I know. We're very aware of that. You're dismissed." No, and that's it.
That was because he went to go say,
he realized she was an alien.
Yeah, he went to go say, "Hey, the senator or the secretary is actually an alien."
Yeah.
Then noticed she doesn't blink.
Yes.
And was like, "Oh, I have to say something to cover up why I'm here."
Yeah, it was a wild scene. But yeah, for the most part, the worst scene in the movie is the part where he suddenly is like, "I refuse to believe that this biologist is a biologist because she's pretty."
Which is especially weird given that in the mutant, like, defense squad, there are several hot ladies in it.
Yes, yeah, this movie is not short on those, and he works with them a lot.
Weird.
Yeah.
It is a fucking weird choice.
What's your least favorite thing?
Ooh, God. Part of me just wants to say it's Mothra at all.
It doesn't look good in this.
Mothra, one, doesn't look particularly good, but is also like, hey, it feels very much like you're just here because we are contractually obligated to have Mothra, and I guess you can fight the Gigan sloppy seconds. And it just felt, I felt bad for Mothra. It's like Mothra shows up, is like, "Ah, my bad guy who's already been defeated once before," immediately gets fucked up by him. Ow, god damn it.
"But I'll come back. I'll use so many wing spores or whatever I do.
I will explode in fire as I hit you."
Yeah. Okay, cool. Maybe grow some legs for your next appearance, though. You look weird without them.
All right, let's go ahead and rate the movie, each of us giving a rating from 0 to 5 to give the rating a total out of 10. Jeff?
3.5.
3.5.
It's not bad. It's not great, but it's not bad. I mean, mostly, like I was saying earlier, as much as it does pack in every monster, I wish that the fights were more interesting. So that's my biggest complaint there. And just too much time spent on mutants and humans and junk that doesn't matter to me. I get that. It's going to be a complaint for every Godzilla movie until they have $1 billion to spend on CGI.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it a big 3.5, hoping that you match me and give it somewhere in the 7 range, because that feels right to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay.
This is probably my second favorite of the Godzilla films after the latest American one.
Have you seen the Kong fight one? Godzilla versus Kong?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have.
All right. Just checking.
I mean, I saw the one where he fights Kong while he is also fighting all of the other ones as well.
Oh, no. Kong isn't even in that one. So you haven't seen the one where it's just Godzilla fighting Kong for most of the movie.
No.
That one's actually fun. Because,
or have I?
Maybe. I mean, there's a part where Godzilla breathes atomic laser fire, and Kong catches it on a big obsidian axe.
Oh, the big axe. Yeah.
So if you've seen that, then you've seen it. And then yes, at the end, they fight Mechagodzilla.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I've seen that one, too.
Yeah.
It's not as good.
No. Like, it's fun. It's got that energy that I like I like so much from this Toho one as well, where they're just like, the Earth has a hollow core where there's monsters down there? Yes, and also we have to go there. Okay, let's go down there in a cool ship that's designed specifically to do that. Here we are, we're in the hollow core of the Earth. Great! You're just like, this movie could not stand still for a second and it would die.
That's what I love. That's why this gets a 4 for me. 7.5 out of 10 for Godzilla Final Wars. It is fun. It's frenetic. It's weird.
It's stupid in good ways.
Yes, it is stupid in a fun way.
Yeah.
So there you go. Thank you so much for joining us for this. Of course, we will be back in another couple weeks with some more movie mastery.
Yeah, don't you fret.
But if you want more, there are always options for you. You can head over to patreon.com/systemmastery. Support us and all of our shows, everything we do over there. If you give there, you can unlock a bunch of bonus content as well as ad-free versions of all of our shows.
You sure can.
You get access to a bunch of hidden stuff on our Discord.
Hidden stuff. Garbage Day. Final Wars.
And it will, of course, let us keep doing what we are doing. including our TV mastery at the $10 level. You unlock everything that we do. We are still going through our very special episodes.
Mm-hmm. We've moved on from drugs to other things.
Yes. So still doing the 80s and 90s very special episodes of stuff that maybe should have been handled in a better way or differently, but by God, they did it anyway.
They sure did, and bless them for it.
So this time around, it's Captain Planet. What could go wrong?
And what do you think he's mad about? Pollution, I bet. But you'll find out.
As long as you go to patreon.com/systemmastery and support us there. But we also know not everyone's got the money. That way, if you want to still support us, you can go ahead and tell a friend, do a review for the show, however you listen to it, give it a 5-star, whatever.
Yeah.
Make it so that other people find us, and then have those people give us money.
That's right. Yeah.
Find someone who's got money and tell them to give that money to us.
Good to your nearest millionaire and make them love us.
Go to the nearest millionaire near you and just be like, hey, have you heard these guys?
Yeah.
It's your cousin, Marvin Millionaire.
Check out your fanciest hotels, horse tracks, whatever, wherever millionaires are found.
Anyway.
But just the really fancy horse tracks where they wear the big hats.
Only derbies.
Not the sad ones.
You can't go to a horse track. You have to go to a horse derby.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Like a polo match might also happen. Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back in another couple weeks with more Movie Mastery. And until then, you all have a good one.